scriptures from Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Pray with me. So engage us now by the power of your word. Stir our hearts in obedience to your will and allow us to extend your family to all our brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I had a lady in one of my earliest congregations whose name was Nevi, and she gave me some good advice. Nevi visited with us in our first charge where we gave birth to our first son, Benjamin. Then along came William, and she visited with us a second time around his birth. And then along came my son, Lucas. Three boys, and at the end, Nevi looked at us and she said specifically to me, David, whatever you do, don't play around. Your children all look like you. Wow. Good advice. There are these moments that you and I try and figure out who God's children are, and sometimes we try and make it only those who look like us. And yet that is not where Paul would send us to understand the family of God. You and I would want to understand that the breadth and length and depth of God's Spirit moves across the face of the waters in the very day of creation and proclaims all things that God has made good. And the writer of the Gospel of John would mention that through Jesus, all things were made, and without him was nothing made. You and I might wish to understand that to be children of God is much more than just mere DNA and facial features. It's an aspect out of which you and I all share the one trait of God. Something that for you and me will make us God's children. In 1 John, John writes to the church in chapter 3, the Father has loved you so much, he's called you children of God. I don't know if you've attended too many vacation Bible schools, but one of my favorite songs is typically sung at Bible school, Father Abraham has many children has Father Abraham, I'm one of them, so are you. It's a grand stir-up beginning song. It invites everybody into the fellowship of learning and growth into God's power. And yet we know something about Father Abraham in Scripture. Because as Abraham and Sarah were waiting on the promise of God, they began to be impatient. So they created for themselves the best surrogate gift. And Ishmael comes into the formula until finally Isaac arrives on the scene. And out of that very relationship between these two children who had the same father, there is an enmity and a jealousy that ultimately sends one away. And John, the gospel writer, speaks in verse 12 of the first chapter, But as many who receive Jesus, to them he has given the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And the writer of Genesis would proclaim to us in the 27th verse of the first chapter, God created humanity in God's own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, God created them. The great mystic Julian of Norwich has your phrase at the top of your scripture. We are not merely created by God, we are made of God, Julian contended. She would make the argument not to try and get us to believe that we're somehow all little gods running around, but to understand that in the very fiber of all of us, we're not merely an abstract creation of God, but we are God's image, far beyond merely looking alike. Jesus would teach us at the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And all too often, we in the church allow this teaching to begin to prescribe for us that maybe everybody who isn't a peacemaker then isn't a child of God. Because every now and then, we who are in the church do not always treat one another as God's children. We recognize that this sibling conflict has been at the nature of the human story from the very beginning. Remember the two brothers, Cain and Abel, didn't play out quite like mom and dad had hoped. These two brothers were bound to be, as they would choose, in competition for God's love. And when God would seem to favor one over the other, rage and anger would take place so that Cain would take the life of his brother Abel. And thus, it wasn't just merely a lamb whose blood was shed, but the blood of his brother. It would be little doubt that it would be then God's son that would need to be offered to bend that brokenness and to blend it back into wholeness, that we might all be God's children. And you know that other grand sibling story, those two twins, Jacob and Esau. Even from the womb, they came out wrestling with each other. And their parents didn't necessarily help because mom favored one and dad favored the other, and they seemed somehow to continue to cause envy and strife to be between these two who should be brothers, and yet they were enemies for most of their life. To be the children of God, somehow you would think we should create perfect children. But that's not the quality that makes us children of God. Paul makes it evidently clear that there is the one trait that's shared by all of us that makes us children of God. It's stated in verse 16 of the passage that Diane read for you this morning out of Romans. I'll read it out of the English scriptural translation version. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. Pastor Elizabeth spoke of that nature of the Spirit, ruah, breath, wind. You and I would understand that the very trait of God that makes us all God's children is the breath in which we breathe and the air in which God animates us. I would contend that as soon as you find a human being that does not breathe, then they're not a child of God. God sends breath upon all of us that we might all be God's children. Paul's very ministry acknowledges that there isn't an exclusive birthright based on a heritage of those who would claim ancestry to Abraham or to the Jewish lineage. It expands for Paul to the nation called the Gentiles and all the peoples of the world. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered in this place, they proclaimed by the Spirit's ability the languages of every nation and every tongue. Now, some scholars want to say it's only the 12 that were gathered in that upper room, and they were the apostles then that would speak. But human language is far broader than 100. So how could only 12 speak the utterance? Other scholars claim that there are nearly 120 in the room. This would make up men and women, individuals that were gathered together in the spirit of prayer on that Pentecost day, continuing to wait for the promise of God to fall and descend upon them, that they might then carry the power of the gospel to the ends of the earth. It would make much more sense to watch the 120 utter the praises of God than a mere 12. It's out of this bearing testimony to the power of God's children that you and I are invited to see one another, and in fact, every human being as a child of God. Not just those who are peacemakers, not those that dress like us or act like us or even believe like us. Paul has the Spirit bearing witness to our spirit. The Ruah, the breath, the life of God bearing witness to the life God's implanted in us. This past week, delegation that gathered in West Ohio was blessed to be introduced to the new bishop of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Bishop Monday. And as Bishop Palmer was welcoming us and was extending an invitation to know who this new bishop is on the Council of Bishops, he began to share a story about Bishop Monday. He said that when the council gets together, there are several dialect languages that are represented because the council of bishops are made up of bishops from across the connection, just not in the United States, across the globe. And when they get together, they normally use these little ear devices, and everybody puts them on so that they can all hear in their own languages the exchanges with one another. So you can hear it in French, or you can hear it in Swahili, or you can hear it in Spanish, or you can hear it in English. But as Bishop Palmer was describing him, he said, "I have to tell you, I'm a little jealous of Bishop Monday. Because when we gather together, he doesn't wear those earphones. He speaks 7 different languages and can hear and understand them all. Not only does he possess that, he even has the ability to understand the different dialects that happen in the tribal natures, even within Swahili. Thank heavens Bishop Monday preached to us in English, because the audience that was there had to appreciate this gift of who this man is and how he lives out that call of God. He in himself is almost like a Pentecost proclaimer who can offer in every language as the Spirit gives utterance. You and I would need to understand that we are all God's children, not just a few. That you and I are all invited to be, because we all breathe together the spirit that animates us. In Ezekiel, you will remember the story when the prophet stands in the valley of the dry bones. God says, can these bones live? And he says, only you know, God. God calls them and the bones rattle together and they all form a grand skeleton array. And then suet and muscle and skin come upon them, and still they are not animated until God gives the breath. When will we, church, begin to greet one another as children of God? All of us as children of God, animated by the breath of God and the power of God and the outpouring of the Spirit, that we would not just be people who proclaim those who are like us, but that we would all share that ruah, that spirit, that breath, that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit gives us ability, we would proclaim the power of the gospel in every tongue and in every language, that all might know the power of the risen Christ. I pray we'll be God's children now. Not just those who look like us, but all who breathe and proclaim the mystery of God's children. Amen.